Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a delightful day to be here. I think you would all agree the weather is going in our favor now, finally. It's been a long haul, but we're delighted that it's warmer, and we're delighted to see the buds coming out on the trees and the grass turning green. I've actually mowed our lawn twice so far this year, so yes, it's going to happen. So, a couple things that I'll mention. I just do want to draw a few things to your attention this morning. First of all, the change in what's happening, which is why I'm down here on the lower level at this point. We have some ladies who are going to do a special presentation this morning because it's Mother's Day. It's special. They're going to do something special. It's also special in the fact that we have the Torbrook Church with us as well today. And I see a number of you ladies have probably gotten a special gift on the way in, and we did want to acknowledge that also. They've been provided by the Ladies Auxiliary of this church. So this is kind of a new approach. We used to get kids to hand them out, but not as many kids anymore to do that, so we thought we would have them handed out on the way in. So I hope that every mom, every grandmom got, I don't know what gifts you got. I'm going to find out what gifts you got before I leave, though, because I want to know what we're getting for Father's Day. a couple things to mention very quickly in the announcements, but next week, this coming week, actually, there's not going to be any Bible study on the 20th. So it's important to keep that in mind. That's the Thursday night Bible study I'm talking, or Tuesday night Bible study. Used to be Thursday that I'm talking about. That doesn't affect the ladies' Bible study on Wednesday afternoons, but Tuesday evening we will be canceled for this week. Also, you know, I'm sure folks are still wondering about what's going on with the old building next door, and I can't tell you the whole story at this point. But one of the things that was decided at our recent council meeting was a number of folks were asking about the wooden chairs that are inside there. Not the pews, but the wooden chairs. And you'll note there's an announcement in your bulletin with regard to that. It's right about the middle on the right-hand side of the bulletin. So if you want to take note, then you can see the information that is there. Next Sunday, I'm going to be away. Good. Thank you. Next Sunday, I'm going to be away. I'm going to be on vacation for a week. And in my stead, licentiate Shelley Ilsley Martin will be here to fill in for me. Several of us had a chance to be at the Wolfville Baptist Church this last Friday evening to witness the commissioning service where Shelley officially graduated. And it was really nice to take part in. It was very, very well attended. And we want to wish Shelley the best for sure in the future. I'm sure she's uncertain as to where that might lead her at this point. I know that feeling quite well. Keep her in mind, if you would, please. There's information in there about a potluck, therefore, that's happening next Sunday in celebration of my not being here. I heard the hand clap. There's note in the bulletin regarding spring cleanup as well, and I'm just going to draw your attention to it so you know what's in there. I want also to express condolences to the family of Jeff Pierce. Many of you folks, I'm sure, were across the road yesterday when they had a celebration of Jeff's life at the fire hall. It was absolutely packed, and rightly so. Jeff touched a lot of people's lives. Wolford and Goldie are here this morning. I know many of you know Angela as well, so keep them in your prayers, if you would, please. I would also ask that you keep George Farron in your prayers. I don't know if George is home from hospital. He was in when I was in the hospital last week, but certainly was gaining some ground and was improving. So keep George in your prayers. I think that's all that I want to say at this point. I'm going to call upon the chorus group.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies here this morning. Lord Most High,
to the strong.
Here I am, Lord.
I don't see a lot of lips moving out there.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness cry, who will bear my light to them, whom shall I send? Calling in the night.
Please, Lord, listen to our hearts.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Please stand for our opening hymn, number 43, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of grace, thank you for the gift of motherhood, for the joy of giving birth, for the delight of loving a child, for the unfolding of relationship that comes with time. From mothers cradling babes to adults caring for aging parents, the relationship of mother and child is a gift from you. Thank you for all who mother us, biological or adoptive mothers, caregivers, relatives, friends, women who have nurtured us, women who have made us what we are. Thank you, God, that even though mothers may fail us, you never fail us, and you mother us through your love. In our intimate relationships, we are imperfect. For all the ways we have as mothers disappointed or failed our children, Lord, forgive us. For all the ways we have as children disappointed or failed our mothers, Lord, forgive us. Give us grace to say, I am sorry, and the wisdom to make amends. For mothers today, we ask for patience, to allow children to be children. We ask for vision, to see the long view, and the impact small parenting choices can make. We ask for self-control, so that we may model gracefulness in stressful situations. Above all, we ask for love, pressed down, shaken up, running over. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who knew the love of a mother, faithful, true, to the very end. Amen. The responsive reading is found on the last page of your bulletins. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son,
that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Would the ushers come now, please, to receive the offering? Would you please stand with me? You'll see the words of the doxology up on the screen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Him above.
Father, indeed, these are awesome days that we might live in the hope and assurance of the salvation that is ours through your Son, Jesus. And it is that message that propels us each step of the day. And we pray that now as we come with these offerings, Lord, that they too would be given in the spirit of understanding and appreciation of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the desire to advance it, to move it into the hearts and lives of people who can be changed, and come to have that sweetness inside of what it means to know you. So bless these offerings, we pray, the fruits of our labors, the products of our hands, that you have been so gracious to bless us with. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple of little expressions that caught my eye as I was reading the barnacle this morning that you find in your bulletin. Very true to life. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. The second one that caught my eye was captured in that little borderline thing down the bottom of the right hand on the inside. Falling down is part of life. Getting back up is living. I like that very much. Let's go before God in prayer. Our Father, the words of your Son Jesus resonate in our hearts and minds oftentimes. Different words on different occasions for different purposes. How many times we have found ourselves, Lord, in circumstances where we're not just quite sure how to respond or what to do. And then in that moment of query, Lord, we hear that still small voice resonating in our heads as we hear you speak to us and move us forward. And Father, how many times we have learned that lesson, even though we know ahead of time that your word is always true, and that so long as we remain in it, we know that we can remain on that path of truth. Yet we question it. Sometimes, Lord, we even choose to the contrary. And once again, we hear that still small voice. See, I told you. And it is those lessons, our Father, that sort of cement in our hearts and minds the truthfulness that is consistent. For you have told us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Lord, we're not. We're always on the move. We're always living in an environment that is quickly changing and rapidly moving. And so we realize that as we carry that truth forward in that fast-paced, ever-moving world, that that becomes the rudder that steers us in the right course. And so again, we rejoice in the wellspring of the truth of your word. We think of what we're taught in Scripture, that if we know the truth will set us free. And again, we have learned that time and time again. So as we gather together this morning for these moments of worship, Lord, let us once again reflect upon the consistency of truth that you've placed in your word, in our hearts, along our path in life, that we might walk in your stead as children dependent upon their mother and father. Bless us today with a fresh sense of your presence in our midst. Lord, we often say it, that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in their midst. But sometimes, Lord, that's what they are, just words. Let the truth of those words resonate this morning. Let us sense the vibrancy of your spiritual presence right here, right now, right in the midst of us. Let us reflect upon the significance of that truth. That as we gather here, Lord, many barriers are broken down because of your word. Many personalities have been changed. Many wrong movements and thoughts and ideas have been challenged. For all along, you have been guiding us along a path that leads somewhere very important. Preparation for a life that will certainly far outshine what we experience here and now. Help us to grow and deepen in our spiritual walk. Help us to grow deeper likewise in our understanding of your word as those two come together to grant us that spiritual growth and development. We thank you for the preciousness of the fellowship that we share and enjoy as we come among one another. And I pray today, especially as we reflect upon the importance and significance of mothers, that that would be a prominent thought within each and every one of us. Lord, I'm sure that many of us can think back to moments in our childhood and even beyond that when we have seen the selfless actions of our mothers that were put forth for the betterment of our lives with that bigger picture in mind. Bless us now as we continue in these moments of worship. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your hymn books or watch up on the screen. Now, the tricky thing that we learned with the last hymn, and I have seen this happen time and time again. Some of you may not even have noticed what happened. Hymns are notorious for having different lyrics to them. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when you think, I know that piece, and you're singing right out, and boom, all of a sudden somebody switches gears on you. And I don't know if you picked up the last time, but the last verse we sang was different than what's in the hymn book. And so the choir was singing one version, and we were singing another version. And no, it's... It does. It happens all the time. Yeah. Really tricky. Anyhow, Jesus is all the world to me. Hopefully we're all singing on the same page. do your thing there, Dave. I just want to say, as the ladies are preparing to take their spots up here, that I really appreciate their willingness to do this morning. They're going to present us with a presentation after I read the scripture reading. But these are very special things that are being shared with us this morning because it is Mother's Day. Nellie Thompson is going to be presenting as Sarah, Bonnie Colburn as Rachel, Janet Taylor as Rahab, and Jerry Marshall as Ruth. And so before they come, I'm going to read a portion of scripture from the book of Galatians chapter 3. Verses 23-29. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that way of faith has come. We no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you.
My birth name was Yishka, which means to see. Some believe it was because of my physical beauty, others because of my spiritual sight. I only kept this name until I understood the word modesty, and I had an insight that I would be royalty someday. So I changed my name to Sarai, which means my princess. I had not yet met my husband, but felt the divine path set before me. I met my husband, Abram, in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. We married there, and we followed with his father, Terah, heading for the land of Canaan. We stopped in Haran, and we settled there for a time. The Lord spoke to my husband, Abram, and told him to leave Haran, and that all the people of the earth would be blessed through him. My premonition of becoming divine would come true. Being faithful to God, we continued on to travel to Canaan, to the land the Lord our God had promised to give my husband's descendants. We built an altar there to the Lord. There came a great famine in Canaan, the year I turned 65, and we were forced to travel to Egypt. Because of my great beauty, my husband was afraid Pharaoh would kill him and take me as his wife. So Abram made up a lie that I would be his sister instead of his wife. The Pharaoh gave Abram lots of gifts, livestock, and things, and took me as his wife. The Lord was very angry about the lie and brought many terrible plagues on the Pharaoh and his household. Pharaoh decided to send us on our way when he discovered what the truth was. We took all our possessions and left. We lived as nomads on the desert, living in tents. We settled in the land of Canaan, in a place called Hebron, where we built another altar to the Lord our God. Sometime later, Abram had a vision where the Lord spoke to him and told him his descendants would number the stars, as many as the stars in the sky. I could not understand this, and I struggled with my faith. I was getting to be an old woman, And how could our descendants number as many as the stars in the sky when we didn't even have any children yet? I decided that if the prophecy was to come true, I would make it happen. So I convinced my husband to take my servant girl, Hagar, and conceive a child. They had a son. They named him Ishmael. It was a very unpleasant time in my life, watching Hagar and Ishmael enjoying the life that I wanted. I so longed for that. When Abram was 90 years old, God appeared to him again, told him he would be the father of many nations. God also told him to change his name to Abraham, and that my name would be changed to Sarah, and that we would conceive a son. When Abraham told me this, I thought he was crazy. I'm 90 years old. I can't have a kid. Again, my faith in God wavered. God sent three men to our tent to speak to Abraham. Abraham invited them in. While I went off to cook a meal, I listened at the opening to the tent. And these men told Abraham that we were going to have a son. I laughed. At 90, and my husband was 100 years old by then, we're going to have a kid? Miracles do happen, and we did conceive a son. His name is Isaac. We called him Isaac as instruction from God. I was very happy with this gift that God had given me. I nursed my son, and as our tradition, when he was old enough to be weaned, we had a big celebration. I noticed at the celebration that Hagar and Ishmael were making fun of Isaac. I didn't like it. I told Abraham, they have to go. They can't be a part of our family anymore. They have to leave. Abraham was not happy about sending them away. But God told him I was right, and that it would be through our son Isaac that the descendants of the world would be counted. God decided to test Abraham and told him to take our son up to the top of the mountain, build an altar there, and sacrifice Isaac. I could not believe that God would take away this precious gift that he had given us. Abraham was very faithful to God, and he did as God instructed. Just as he was about to kill Isaac, an angel of the Lord stopped him, and he provided a lamb for the sacrifice. Because Abraham's faith was so strong, and he had obeyed God, God instructed that indeed his descendants would be blessed. I lived to be 127 years old, and when I died, I was so mourned by my husband that he bought a cave where he laid my body. The story goes on, and as God promised, and I became the mother of many nations. My son Isaac would have two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob would father 12 sons who became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah would come David, and through David, finally, Jesus, God's promised Savior for us all.
Sarah, our life stories weave together through the lands where we have lived, through the descendants that God promised, and through your grandson. My name is Rachel. My father is Laban. My older sister is Leah. We are shepherds from Haran. Every day we must take our flocks to a community well where they're watered. There's a large stone that covers it to help prevent evaporation. On this one day when I was approaching with my father's herd, I noticed there was a stranger there. He came out to meet me and told me that his mother and my father were brother and sister. This was quite a surprise. Jacob had traveled over 400 miles to find us. He was exhausted and overjoyed, full of emotion, so he greeted me with a kiss and he wept openly. He also wanted to impress me, I think, and he rolled that stone away from the well all by himself. It worked. I was impressed. I went home in a hurry to tell my father, who was here, and he came out to greet Jacob. When he went home with my father, he settled right into being a herdsman and to working very hard, actually. We were quite attracted to one another, and this continued as he stayed there. But my father didn't want him to have no wage, so they talked about what that would be. Jacob asked if he could marry me. It was agreed upon, but that he would have to give 7 years of work for this to happen. Jacob felt the time went by very quickly because we were so in love. But when the time was up, he approached my father and he wanted the wedding ceremony to happen. On that day, lots of men were gathered together to celebrate. The bride was veiled, and in the evening they went to the marriage bed. In the morning, Jacob was very angry. He had been deceived. It wasn't me who was with him as the bride. It was my older sister, Leah. When he confronted my father and asked, "Why have you done this?" he said, "It's not our custom to marry the youngest daughter before the oldest." Of course, Jacob still wanted to marry me. And my father said, "Well, after the traditional marriage week, you can be married, but you must give another 7 years of work to our family." It was common and our custom that a man would have more than one wife. The next 7 years, many things were happening. Jacob worked hard. Children were being born. But they weren't mine. They were my sister Leah's. She gave Jacob four sons, and as Sarah did, I couldn't wait for God's plan, so I gave my servant to Jacob as a surrogate mother. She gave him sons, and it became this terrible competition between my sister and I. Finally, God heard my prayer, and I conceived, and we had a son. His name is Joseph. Immediately, not being satisfied, I asked God, "Would you give me another son?" Jacob was feeling like he wanted to build his own herds and maybe move on, but my father didn't agree to that readily, so he had to work for another 6 years, but he was very good at it, and he made sure that his herds multiplied. My sister and I weren't very happy with the way our father had treated us. We got none of the bride wealth that was worked for, and when we decided to leave and God was calling Jacob to go back to his homeland, we left when my father was a distance away with another herd. Since I was still feeling angry, I took my father's household gods and tucked them in a pack, without telling anyone, mind you. After a few days' travel, my father and several people caught up with us, and he pretended that he was sad that he didn't get to say goodbye to us, but then he asked Jacob, "Where are my gods? Why have you taken them?" Jacob didn't know anything about it, so he said, "Well, go ahead and search the tents. If anyone has them, they should die." I was really worried about this statement, so my father started to search the tents, and when he got to mine, I had to come up with a plan very quickly. But I'll let you read about it in Genesis 31, verses 34 and 35. We traveled on. Many things happened as we traveled to Jacob's homeland. One thing, I became expecting another child. My labor was very hard. Things weren't going well. But I did have a son. His name is Benjamin. But this is where my story ends.
Shalom, sisters. I have traveled with the Israelites for many years now, and I have learned to love their God as my own God. But my story didn't start there. My story started in the Canaanite city of Jericho. Oh, it was vast. It was busy. It was a great city. but it was full of wickedness. And I have to say ashamedly that I was part of that. You see, I was a prostitute. And even though there were other wicked things that took place, mine was considered the lowest of low in society. It wasn't the decision that I had planned for my life. I wanted a family and children and a husband, but you know, I didn't have people there to guide me. So this is where my life led to, and I decided that I would use this to my benefit. And my story one night starts that I'm in front of my door facing two of the king's guards, and they're questioning about two spies that had come into the city. I knew nothing about this. How would they expect me to know these things? So I said, well, there were men here earlier, but I really didn't know if they were spies, but if you go quickly, you should be able to catch them. So they did leave, trusting me. They had no reason not to. So when I knew that it was safe, I shut my door and went up to my rooftop. And underneath some stacks of flax that were there drying, the two spies were. I had hid them. I knew the stories of their God, and I wanted to know him. I knew how strong he was and powerful and how he loved his children. He protected them. He got them out of Egypt, of all places, under the Pharaoh's rule. He parted the Red Sea. You know, Baal and Ashtoreth, we prayed to, but they didn't answer prayer that way. So we decided, or I did, that I needed to do something to get me into that right spot with God. So I protected those spies, and I said, when you come to invade our city, please, please protect me and my family. So they agreed to this, but there was one condition. I had to leave a cord out my window. You see, my house was built into the city wall, which was very thick. So I had a window that the men climbed down through on this big rope. So yes, if I hung this scarlet cord there, they would know that this was my house. Anyone who was inside when they came back would be saved, they promised me. So I sent the spies to the hills. I said, go there for 3 days, then you'll be safe to go back to your camp, which was on the other side of the Jordan River. So the spies left, and I didn't hear from them, and I waited and waited and watched. Suddenly one morning, I could feel the vibration in the ground of the men coming forward and the clanging of the shields and the shouts. I knew it was time. This was it. I ran. I got my mother and father, sisters, brothers, their families, and I said, you need to stay here. We've been promised we will be protected. I do trust the spies. So that's what we did, and we waited. And it was a very long wait. You could hear the screams outside my house, you know, and it was not good. But when it was finished, finally, there came pounding at the door, and there was one of the familiar faces of the spies. They took me and my family back with them to their camp, and we were saved. They kept their promise. And I have learned to love their God so much more than I ever could have imagined. My name is Rahab, and I am married to Solomon, one of the Israelites. We have a son, Boaz, and Boaz has a son, Obed. And Obed has a son, Jesse. And from Jesse, his son is King David from the tribe of Judah, which is a direct descendant line of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, sisters. My story begins in the country of Moab. I grew up in a family that was very well-to-do. We had wonderful food to eat, beautiful clothes, perfumes, and jewels, everything that you could possibly want. My family worshipped many gods and idols. In another country, in the city of Bethlehem, in Judah, lived a family, Elimelech, the father, his wife Naomi, and their sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They worshipped the true God and had much love for him. A severe famine fell on Bethlehem, and Elimelech decided that in order to provide for his family, he should move them out of Bethlehem and go to another country. Naomi didn't really want to do this. It was very upsetting for her to leave her family and her people. However, Elimelech mortgaged his lands and moved the family to another country. That country was my country, Moab. Not too long after Elimelech and the family arrived, he died, and he left his widow, Naomi, and the two boys. When the boys came of age to be able to marry, of course, inevitably, they married Moab women. I married Mahlon, the oldest son, and a friend of mine, Orpah, married Kilian, the younger boy. We lived very happily for about 10 years with Naomi. During this time, I became very attached to her. She was my mother, and she taught me a lot about her God and how much faith she had in him and how he would always provide for us, and I became a great believer. Unfortunately, Kilian, the younger brother, died after a short illness. We were very distraught about this. And only a year later, my beloved husband, Mahlon, became sick and after a very long illness, also died. We were totally distraught. What were we to ever do? Three women, three widows, with no one to support us. Orpah and I had not had children with Mahlon and Kilian. It was at this time that Naomi decided she should return to Bethlehem. She wanted to go back to her people and to her faith. So she talked to us about that, to Orpah and I, and she encouraged us to return to our families because she felt that we would be safe there. Perhaps we would marry again and have children, and that was her greatest wish for us, that we have children. Orpah decided, yes, that that's what she wanted to do, not me. Naomi was my mother, and I really wanted to know more about this God of hers and everything that she had talked to me about. When she tried to persuade me to go, I told her, "Where you go, I will go. Where you dwell, I will dwell. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So we set off, said our goodbyes to Orpah, and set off on this long journey to Bethlehem. It was a long, difficult journey. Naomi was old, and we had to stop many times. We were careful to where we traveled because there were dangers of robbers and people that might hurt us. We often stayed with caravans overnight to have the safety of that. Eventually, we crossed the River of Jordan, and we went by the walls of Jericho and into the city of Bethlehem. Naomi was so happy to be there. We met a lot of women that she had known when she lived there years ago. They were all so happy to see her and wondered why she had come back without her husband and two sons. She had to explain that they had died. Unfortunately, they took one look at me and said, "Oh, you're bringing back a foreigner, a Moab no less. What are you doing?" She tried to explain to them my faithfulness to her and my love for God, and that if it weren't for me, she probably wouldn't be able to be here. Needless to say, they did not welcome us into their homes. They did not help us with food. It was a very sad time for Naomi, and she didn't know how we were going to survive. We found a cave, an empty shepherd's cave for his flocks, and lived there. I supported us by gleaning in the fields behind the harvesters. The first few fields I came to do this did not welcome me, and I had stones thrown at me. However, I eventually came to a field that belonged to our kinsman, Boaz. And the people there, the workers, were really happy. They sang, they seemed to be enjoying working. The overseer was very kind to me and told me where I could work so that I wasn't harmed by anyone and would be safe. And I met Boaz, and he was very kind to me. He had me come in sometimes and eat with the workers, and he was just a very genuinely kind man. During this time, Naomi, my mother, had noticed that Boaz was interested in me, perhaps. She'd been watching him watch me when I come back from the fields. So she had this plan in her mind. She encouraged me to offer myself to him, which I did. But Boaz, being the kind and caring man that he was, would not take advantage of me. Instead, he negotiated some rules of inheritance that existed in our day, whereby he could buy back our lands and become our family redeemer. He was able to do this, and we were able to be married because that was part of the deal. I came along with the lands. We were married and were very happy. We had a son named Obed, who was the firstborn of Mahlon and Naomi's family, inherited all our lands. My name is Ruth. Rahab, is the mother of my husband Boaz. Our son Obed fathered Jesse, who in turn fathered David, who became the king of Israel. God continued to show his faithful love for me and continued to have me as part of his great plan. From the line of David, as you all know, came Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
These ladies put a lot of work into that, as was obvious. I think it's so nice how they took the story of these four ladies, four separate ladies, just like in a funnel, and brought it down to the point to show how it all factored into the life of our Savior Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, I was very pleased when they had offered that they would do this presentation. It was totally their initiative. And I believe it can be so healthy and so helpful when we're given an opportunity, oftentimes, at least once in a while, to get a fresh perspective. And I think the way they told the story, the way they expressed their stories, was very helpful to us this morning. It's also, I think, very important to note that women played a very, very central and profound part in the biblical story right from the earliest of times. It's really quite amazing when you stop and think about it that women were found in such place of prominence in Scripture. Why would I say that? I say that because it's well established that in many societies of the past, not just biblical societies, but those societies in which we find nothing mentioned of in the Scriptures about their goings day in and day out, many of these societies were ordered in such a way that socially, males were more important than females in terms of their value. Even in this day and age, I'm sure that you're well aware that we see oftentimes images of women required to walk behind males in public. I suspect that you may remember that I had shared with you somewhere along the line an experience that I had at one point when I was studying at Acadia Divinity College, when some of my colleagues who were taking a worship course through Dr. Jerry Barnes, and off they went to Halifax just to participate, or at least to observe, I should say, a Jewish service at the synagogue there in Halifax. And I remember how it stuck with me when they returned. They were so shocked by some of the things that they witnessed. In particular, one moment when a male Jewish worshiper led in prayer, stood up and thanked God that he was not born a woman. Hard for us to connect with that kind of social structure, I think, in this day and age. The struggle has been from that point on to elevate society to the point of realizing, I believe, that all of us are of equal value in God's eyes. I think it's probably fair to say that many of us males have taken advantage of the divine endowment of our physical muscular ability sometimes to bully our ways and bolster our ways to power. Within that context, I believe we need to hear the resounding expression that I read for you earlier in Galatians chapter 3, and one verse in particular. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. It says this: there is no longer Jew or Gentile. And I want to repeat that governing phrase. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those are very important words for us to hear in this day and age. And I believe it was very obvious from the reading of that text that one of God's accomplishments was the knocking down of those three barriers that existed. And so I would offer you this challenge, that in most churches in this day and age, you will note the greater abundance of females as opposed to males. It is a reality in most churches. In fact, most of the ministry and support of many of today's churches is disproportionately borne by the female gender. Mother's Day, I would want to say to you, is one of the important areas where we can note and celebrate God's gift of the profound female contribution to society. It's not the whole story, of what women contribute, but it is an extremely vital one. And I believe that whenever we fail to make such an honorable acknowledgement, we do so to our own peril as a people, as a society, and yes, even as a church. So let us not forget these words which we heard earlier in the responsive reading from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Let us be thankful for all that is accomplished through this equal partnership of God's design. I invite you to turn in your hymn books or to watch the overhead screen as we turn our thoughts and standing together and singing this last hymn, number 353, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory
now to him who was able to keep you from falling, to the one who was able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, both now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.